Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Sunra, 3-0. Great feeling to the season. And as Sam Thoma's article on fullpresscoverage.com/Packers came out recently, he mentioned in the article it was finally the time to get a win against a real quality opponent. And, you know, division games are always close, so they're always a little closer than they should be, you could say, and neither game ended up being particularly close. I mean, between the Vikings and Lions. So this really was a test in a lot of ways for the Packers. The offensive line held up amazingly in week one, but it was expected to. And week two, I thought at the very least that would be a test. And you know what? I thought they actually did really well to contain the Lions pass rush. I know Jamie Collins did get one sack on Aaron Rodgers, but outside of that, I kept clean pretty well, actually. So kudos to them there. This was also going to be another test. And I think right off the bat, starting right tackle, Billy Turner, getting his first game action. And I do wonder if either of my co-hosts were here talking right now, maybe they wouldn't be as forgiving. Turner didn't look great in the first quarter, I will say. I mean, there were some mistakes, both in run blocking and in pass protection on that opening drive early and throughout the first quarter. But I felt Turner, you know, was pretty good late in the game, or certainly as the game got on, it seemed like he got better. I chalked that up to this was, again, his first game action of the season. He was active for week two, but didn't play at all. It was really if stuff really goes wrong and we have no bodies to be able to play offensive line, he would have played. But he was healthy, good to go right off the bat week one, and got the start over Ricky Wagner. So clearly the Packers really happy with Turner in that regard. And I do now wonder, maybe if Elgton Jenkins starting at right tackle week one was more the fact that Billy Turner wasn't there. If Billy Turner was healthy, that might have been the play the whole time anyway. Maybe that's still the play long term. Maybe I don't know. I was impressed, though, because I wasn't expecting, as soon as I saw that he was starting, really wanted Wagner, because Wagner has been playing really well. But you know, again, Turner stepped up. Was a great play again throughout, other than some miscues early on. But again, chalking it up to maybe game speed, it seems like he can play right tackle. I know he did that with the Broncos, but seeing it with the Packers and seeing him make it so that he's not a weak link for them, because I mean, if you're on a bad line and you're the only good player, you can make that look good, and you can kind of, you know, people point, well, he's not as bad as everyone else, right? But can he really keep up with an excellent offensive line that and play at that elite level that the rest of the line is playing at right now? You know, you could, maybe you wouldn't call Lucas Patrick elite, but he certainly played really well, having to handle some interior pressure. I know, again, Marcus Davenport wasn't in this game for the Saints, so there's always something missing there. I guess it's basically equaled out injury-wise on both sides. Davenport for the Saints, Kenny Clark for the Packers, Michael Thomas for the Saints, Devontae Adams for the Packers. So you kind of go in, no excuses. This was coming in with an even contest. And I got to say, one thing that really impressed me with the Packers before we get into anything else, and there may be some controversy around this because of, and I mean, I wouldn't even say necessarily anything the Packers' fault, but I mean, kudos to them. Two penalties the entire game. I mean, that's huge. That type of discipline. I think it was 5 penalties or 6 penalties in week two. So it's going, like, it's moving in that proper direction. The Saints got 8 penalties, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie, some of those were just plain awful. The Malcolm Jenkins horse collar tackle, which, to be fair, I thought live, because we couldn't really see because of the body's like, oh, the way Jones went down, that's got to be a horse collar. But then you see the replay, it's no, he just makes a great tackle. And so got penalized for that, which I think, pretty sure the Packers scored off that drive. That kind of, I didn't like that. Like, let's be honest. Like, I don't want to see the game decided that fast. I want the Packers to beat the Saints properly. And I mean, there's maybe some other calls. The one people might point to is the Mercedes Lewis no offensive pass interference, which, to be fair, I think I mentioned this. I mentioned this somewhere, but how it was consistent week one. They were calling it super heavy, though. But what I didn't like about it is that they were calling it offensive pass interference in situations where players were trying to liberate themselves from penalties. and, you know, fight through, try and make the play like they're supposed to. And if the refs are penalizing players for that, my worry is that receivers are just going to start diving. Because to be honest, that's kind of what the DB started doing too. I really see it with Jalen Ramsey on that one on Michael Gallup, really learning to sell it. So at a certain point, maybe the receivers are going to start selling it again, and we don't want to see that happen. So I think it was in the best interest of the league to really, if a player is fighting, like hand fighting through contact, or if a player is being interfered with and liberates himself in an illegal manner, it kind of evens itself out. You're not going to make a call. And I feel like that's what they started doing more this week. Obviously the Packers game, it didn't happen. There's the play where it might have been able to, but, you know, the Saints player coming in, contacting Lewis first, Lewis frees himself and, you know, gets the catch and finds the end zone. When I watched it, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I thought that was a good touchdown and there was talk, but really, like, I didn't see anything else anywhere in the NFL this week where, oh, this should have been touchdown, or this great play could have been catched, is taken away by a bad offensive pass interference. So it seems as though the league week one really put an emphasis on it, and then maybe they got some really close examples where, in both cases, maybe they were, the refs were kind of instructed, this is the side of the line you toe on, you're going to call this more often than not. You know, this is, you should default to calling this if you're not certain. And I think maybe after two big plays taken away in two key games, right at the very end too, and unfortunately, right in the fourth quarter, really magnifies things. But it seems like, and the outcry against that, there's a lot of people who thought those were just awful calls, but really it seems like, okay, that's what the NFL was pushing. And now they adjusted after week one, realizing, oh, this, you know, clearly isn't what the fans want. Things being decided by flags. And again, my point of, if you're going to start penalizing receivers for trying to break free of contact, they're just going to start diving anytime they feel any contact. And then the game's not good. And then it's going to be more flags, even worse. So I think the NFL made a good decision over these last couple weeks to kind of, you know, NFL officiating. Again, this is me speculating here. I'm just, what do I know? In that regard, I think that's what's kind of happened here, is they're not easing up, but they're defaulting on, okay, what the tolerance is for this offensive pass interference. And I think they're pushing that tolerance up or down. I'm not sure, but they're making it so it needs to be more obvious. It's like, they really need to, don't do it unless it's absolutely 100% certain. If there's any thought of, oh, did the defender initiate contact, there, it seems like they're just going to let him through. At least that was the case with Lewis. So, you know, Saints fans may turn to that for controversial calls, but again, karma, right? Like, at a certain point, the Saints, you know, it happened a decade ago, but the bounty gate's probably still the worst case of cheating ever seen, just because of the intent to maliciously hurt players is just awful. And I still can't get over Greg Williams being in the league, because I don't think he's that good of a coordinator. And this is actually something I want to talk about here. I won't rant about Greg Williams because he's not even involved in this game. But through the broadcast, one thing that was mentioned by Collinsworth a few times is, oh, Dennis Allen trying to get this team to play like a Greg Williams defense. And my thinking is, why? That man is awful. Like, we saw what he did as a defensive coordinator of the Saints. Yeah, they won a Super Bowl by basically bullying their way to the league and ending quarterbacks' careers. Kind of super happy the Packers didn't actually face the Saints in the playoffs that year. That's aside. And aside from that, Greg Williams has a lot of these calls. The safeties are so deep down the field. You're leaving so much of the field exposed. There's a lot of schematic things I disagree with Greg Williams to a certain extent. I think I don't think Collinsworth is wrong when he says that Dennis Allen's defense tries to play like a Greg Williams defense, because we see it with the penalties, overly aggressive. But again, you know, it says 8 penalties. I'll give them 7 because, again, the Malcolm Jenkins one really shouldn't have been a penalty. But outside of that, I mean, frankly, they should have had more penalties. They had the roughing the kicker, running to the kicker thing, which I thought was blatantly obvious. That they not only landed on his plant foot, but he contacted the foot kicking as it was coming down. Like, it's, I don't know. I was baffled they didn't call that. So I thought the Saints actually got one there. So I'm not giving the Saints any extra karma or credit. They're an undisciplined team, and they showed it. There was many of those penalties that were deserved. So I think kudos to the Packers for being the more disciplined team. And I do think that factored in heavily, because, two penalties, 0 turnovers for the Packers. 8 penalties, only one turnover for the Saints, although he did fumble three times. Lucky enough to recover twice. And I was thinking that through the game. It's like, eventually, okay, if they keep making the Saints fumble, eventually the Packers have to recover one of these, right? I didn't think Breeze was going to throw an interception. He's really good at avoiding that. Not Rodgers good, but almost as good. Which, basically, that's been Drew Brees' career, right? Not as good as Rodgers, but almost as good. Even almost as good seems like it's too much credit. Truthfully, Brees played really well, though. I will say, the lack of Michael Thomas was apparent. Much easier time covering receivers. I actually thought Kevin King did a fantastic job most of the time. I think it was really only one play. Oh, yeah, Sanders' touchdown at the end. That was the only play that he got burned really bad. Maybe one other play, I think, by Tre'Quan Smith. But for the most part, Kevin King actually stepped up really well. We expected Jair Alexander to do amazing. Sanders was shut out anytime Alexander was covering him. Again, just like we've seen the last all of last year. There were three games last year where it happened. So this is another game where it happened. It just, again, Sanders, I think as Tre'Quan Smith kind of okay, he was making catches, kind of becoming a threat, move Alexander towards that direction, or maybe the Saints finding ways to get Sanders off of Alexander as well. Could be a lot of that, a lot of mixes there. Sean Payton's great at that. So, unlike maybe Kyle Shanahan we saw last year, who won't necessarily, Kyle Shanahan, so it's the run game so integral. That's where his attention to detail is going to be. So seems like Kyle Shanahan doesn't really care which receiver is being covered by which corner. That's not his priority in the offense. It's really, how is our offensive line doing? How can I call plays to exploit that? With Sean Payton, it really does come through the passing game first, it seems, where his offensive philosophy. So the detail of which receiver is being covered by which corner and trying to find those matches. I think Sean Payton, obviously getting Sanders open at the end, good job of that. The other thing, too, I will toot my own horn here, because I did actually predict this, and I was saying it everywhere. I expected Lattimore to cover Marquez Valdes-Scantling, that the deep threat, the speed of Valdes-Scantling would be what scared the Saints the most. We saw a lot of it early, and I think as Alan Lazard started getting catches, started seeing more Lattimore, the first of his almost touchdowns, because Lazard had a couple of really big plays. It wasn't the, 72-yard play at catch and run. It was the big diving catch. He beat Lattimore deep. I was really impressed. And Alan Lazard, that play impressed me maybe more than the 72-yard play. Just because, again, who was covering him corner-wise? He was able to get past him deep, even though Lattimore has been a lockdown guy. Really, Rodgers kind of avoided that direction most of the game. I mean, Valdes-Scantling, he only had the one catch, and I think a lot of that started coming as Lattimore started getting onto Lazard more. But certainly that early time, it was one of the, again, really the only time anyone had gotten that far open against Lattimore. So Rodgers took the shot. Lazard made a great diving catch because Lattimore actually recovered and got there to almost break that play up. But, great catch by Lattimore by Lazard, right? Well, again, Lattimore recovering, not so much for letting him get open, but I mean, Lazard, six catches, 146 yards, one touchdown, massive plays, both early in the game and late in both halves, really, that just tilted field position and set the Packers up to be in positions to score. And I just, I was really impressed. Almost the point of giving player of the game, but this is a game where it's probably obvious. Lazard, again, I made the right call with the coverage wise in terms of anticipating. So I am surprised Lazard played this well, because I still thought Janoris Jenkins would be a tough cover, but really Lazard seemed to be getting open a lot against Jenkins. So good on him. And really, if that's the game plan, I think now even more confidence in Lazard than there has been maybe ever, because I suppose that there was the first game against the Lions last year where he really just, came onto the field, made a catch, and suddenly realized, he's the only one making catches. Just keep targeting him. That was the only game really where he had massive success without Devontae Adams. Think about the Giants game. Adams was there by then. And then the second Lions game, again, that was all Adams and Lazard. They got most of the targets. I believe no other wide receiver saw more than one target in that game. So, but really, it was interesting to see, Lazard get 8. Next highest target was actually Robert Tonyan with 5. If I said anyone, I thought it might be either Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. Jones had four targets, so it wasn't totally off there. Jamal Williams, though, just the one target. I did think maybe I was expecting to see a little bit more usage out of him, but obviously Lazard was a very worthy target. It was nice to see the tight ends get involved. Tonyan, Lewis both scored touchdowns, and Tonyan and Sternberger, they liked using, they ran this one play a few times, and the Saints really had no answer for it. They would just fake run to the left, get everyone out that way, and have the tight end go right or whatever the direction, opposite direction of the run. It seemed to happen a lot going towards the left. And just have that tight end get out open. And really, the Saints had such a hard time covering it. The Packers ran the fakes really well. Rodgers actioned it so well. And truthfully, like it just seems at will. If they needed to get a first down, that was their play. And it worked. So, tons of great news for the Packers, right? Let's actually get to the bad news now. Because there definitely was. First of which is the run defense. 100 yards rushing. 58 for Kamara, 58 for Murray. Kind of funny how that works. And actually, it's funny. Kamara was really just one big run, technically. 49-yard run. So outside of that, 9 yards on 5 carries. So they held him in check on the ground, mostly. As a receiver, however, not the case. Very much not the case. And, Christian Kirksey getting hurt early, I think that really messed things up. But there was Kamara's first touchdown. It was Barnes, I think, actually in zone against him, and he had I think it was Amos as a deep free safety as well, kind of in that over the middle where Kamara would go into, and I don't know, it's tough to know exactly where to be to cover, right? Like, okay, where especially in a zone situation like that, and knowing that Kamara is probably the target. He could come out of either side of the backfield, up the middle. Like, there's so many places where he could be, but I just felt that Barnes wasn't centered enough. He was too much off the side, maybe trying to predict. And I also felt, I felt he was maybe not, I think he was almost too deep to be that far away, because as soon as Kamara cut inward, he had no pursuit on him, and he couldn't catch up, and Amos was really too far away to stop him from scoring a touchdown. He did come up, but Kamara's so fast, he'll make so many guys miss. That was one where I wasn't as necessarily blamed on Amos. It was just more of a great play by Kamara, but there was the 52-yard reception, so the screen pass, and it was Will Redmond. There was a few plays in this game Will Redmond I thought kind of blew some coverages or missed some tackles, but this was obviously the massive one. Trying to remember where else, but there was another play I noted where I think it might have been on Kamara's 49-yard run. He took a bad angle in pursuit, came a little too, again, a little, you know, sometimes just those angles, and came a little too sharp, and Kamara beat him flat and couldn't get him, and he beat him to the outside and was able to gain, again, a ton of yards on that run play. But no, on the famous one now, the 52-yarder, and I thought one thing they were doing well earlier in that drive, a couple plays before, was run blitzing and getting him from behind the offensive line, which means defensive backs have to come back, which also means if defensive backs are doing that, there aren't as many guys behind the line of scrimmage, so maybe taking advantage of them having Amos and Savage come a little deeper. But then, yeah, on this 52-yard screen pass, Redmond comes in and he can tackle him for maybe a modest gain of 1 or 2 yards. Kind of contacts him, but not really. Just flat out misses. Like, and then Ty Summers comes in, and I thought Ty Summers actually had a really good game, made some good cover plays on Kamara earlier in the game. This is when he almost wrapped up, but not quite. And Kamara's pretty strong, fast, explosive guy, got some strength to him too, and he was able to withstand that. So, but regardless of how strong Kamara is, as a linebacker, you should be making that play. So another missed tackle there, and then once those two didn't make it, there was really no one else around to immediately make that play. So Kamara just got a huge leg of speed by the time the next person came. It was Jair Alexander coming across the side of the field. We see him do that a lot too. But by the time he gets there, Kamara makes him miss. And then Amos, Savage both try and come up at the end. And then I think it was Lancaster, kind of came back from behind, wasn't quite able to catch it before the end zone. I mean, at a certain point, that's not really the defensive lineman's job, so I'm not going to blame him, but at the very least, like, two missed tackles that I know Kamara's ability is to force people to miss tackles, but those weren't forced. Those were just blatant mistakes by especially Will Redmond. I want to see the snap. Actually, one thing I wanted to check was the snap counts on this. Because why is Will Redmond on the field so much? Raven Green only played 10% of defensive snaps, whereas Will Redmond was on for 52% of the snaps. To me, that doesn't make sense. Like, why is that not reversed? I'd rather have Raven Green on most of the time than Will Redmond. I don't know, maybe Will Redmond is a strong safety. They feel like, okay, can cover running backs better somehow. I don't know. I'm not a big Will Redmond fan. If anything, now that Jimmy Graham's gone, it may not even be the tight ends anymore. Maybe Will Redmond gets all of my ire. There's got to be a Packer I dislike. I don't know. I'm petty like that. You all know that as listeners if you listen long enough. And if you don't, well, welcome. But seriously, that was... I mean, if he makes the play, that play doesn't happen. Like, he stops that play before Kabar can get any head of steam. And then Summers should have made the play, too. Those were two very obvious misses. The one on Alexander, like, it was a good cut by Kabar, especially when he has that much speed. It's almost impossible to predict. He can cut so well. But still, you know, there was some blocking established as well as that point. So it's tough to blame anyone beyond that as much as I blame, again, especially Will Redmond, but also Ty Summers. I don't want to, but again, Ty Summers stepping in. I already mentioned the Christian Kirksey injury. It does appear this is going to be a multi-week injury. The reports are he's not going to need surgery, so he's avoided any significant, serious, you know, season-ending injuries. Yeah, but Summers, I thought, having to come in, you know, get the helmet, be the signal caller on defense against Drew Brees. This is one of the brightest, sharpest quarterback minds in the game, and I'll rip him a lot, but I mean, you know, just like Tom Brady, just like Aaron Rodgers, Brees has that the defense can't fool me type of, he knows everything. He's seen every type of coverage imaginable, and if you fool him once, he'll remember it and he'll figure it out, and he's so great at dissecting. And in both teams, in both quarterbacks really tried to play that up, and both defenses kind of aware of that. I know for the Saints, that's Malcolm Jenkins, really, the signal caller, and just trying to call the perfect play to counter what they think the Packers are doing, and the Packers would do this on defense. So Ty Summers, huge responsibility on his shoulder in this game. And I thought, from a defensive coverage standpoint, it seemed like they were always calling the right plays. Again, even on that Kamara touchdown, players were in the position to make those plays. They just didn't make the plays. So clearly, I mean, it's picking the right plays to call it, and Summers is making sure everyone's set up properly. So great on Summers to do that without, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, he's sitting in all of those linebacker meetings. He knows all this, but to actually practice it on the field and go through all those calls, and it you know, clearly it clicked for him. So, I mean, he was on the field more than Barnes, which that wasn't the case before. But again, Barnes not the signal caller, so that was always going to be Barnes' role, knowing that Summers... Really, yeah, it's that you know, that green sticker on the helmet, right? That's his job, and it looks like it's going to be his job for the next couple weeks. You know, Falcons next, so yeah. I mean, Matt Ryan's a pretty smart quarterback too. I wouldn't quite say the Breeze's level, but it's still going to be a challenge there. But he's going to have all week to prepare. And again, I thought tackling wise, he seemed to be doing pretty well outside that one miss on the reception, the screen there. You know, I thought that was great. Great game by Summers. So maybe some faith in the Packers here, not having a linebacker, because as soon as Kirksey was out, I was like, oh, this is where they should have drafted Patrick Queen, right? This is where if Patrick Queen was drafted, this wouldn't be an issue. But I'll give Summers credit. And again, it looks like Kamal Martin in training camp is also very capable, anticipating his return. Maybe get him and Kirksey back healthy, and that linebacker could be bolstered. Right now, though, some key injuries for the Packers defense is going to be a worry. You know, again, they've allowed a lot of points, but thankfully the offense has been in such a position to play. And in a sense, it's complementary football because they know the offense is capable and the defense is so good from a pass rush perspective, playing with the lead. They don't mind giving up big plays. I know, again, something Sam wrote in his article. So thanks, Sam. I'm taking from you. This is good material, but it's a defense that's designed primarily to get pressure and turnovers. It's not a defense that's great playing from behind, having to run stuff. If Kenny Clarkson, they can do it well. You know, if Kenny Clarkson and Christian Kirksey's healthy, and you know, Ty Summers after this experience, I think is going to grow so much more from this game than he has from any other game in his NFL career. So once Clark's back in, it's fine. But until Clark's in, this run defense is just, it's really scary and pretty. I will say, though, that, you know, the fact outside of that one big run for Kamara, that 5 carries for 9 yards meant that they were stopping him a lot. And I know Latavius Murray ends up with, I think, over 4 yards a carry. But for the most part, no big breakaway runs for Latavius Murray. But really, right now, this defense all hinges on Za'Darius Smith, and we saw it. There was a few times, the Saints' offensive line is great, and they really did a great job neutralizing him. The one time he finally gets home, forces a fumble on Taysom Hill, recovers it himself, and at this point in the game, this was a tie game at this point, because this is right after the fourth down turnover. Aaron Jones couldn't convert on 4th and 1. Marshawn Lattimore coming down. Malcolm Jenkins, the DBs, making the tackle on 4th and 1. I know Collinsworth mentioned that, but yeah, Lattimore, maybe the play of the game for him. And he's shutting down Valdez-Scantling, which, again, for Rodgers is just, I'm just going to avoid that, right? This was probably the most impactful play he had on the game. And you know, if the Saints don't turn it over there, they may have regained a lead, which they hadn't had since, what, first quarter? I guess they were up at halftime. Yeah, this Emmanuel Sanders touchdown you're referred to already. But it was, I think at that point would have been the first time since the opening drive of the second half where the Packers regained the lead with the touchdown, the Mercedes Lewis touchdown. So that was huge. That like moment of that game, definitely the play of the game for Smith to come in, force the fumble, give the Packers the ball back. They at least get a field goal to take the lead, and then from there, they get the other touchdown. That was the Robert Tonyan touchdown, I believe, and then the Saints score their touchdown at the end. But for the most part, the game all hinged on that Za'Darius Smith play, and then the subsequent incredibly, well, it was the not the field goal drive, but the touchdown drive. They drained so much clock. I think when they took the ball, they took possession of the ball, there was less than 7 minutes left, and then it was close to 2 minute warning by the time the Saints had the ball back, and it was about 2.5 minutes left. So they drained at least 4 minutes of game time on that drive too, which was just as key as scoring, obviously. But I don't have much else to say. I guess name the player of the game. I've kind of danced around it all game, and as much as you know. Because of how well the offensive line played, Cameron Jordan really didn't factor in as nearly as much as I thought he would. I mean, anytime Bakhtiari covered him, you forget it, done. But even like Billy Turner had to cover him a couple times, and I thought managed pretty well. Again, not struggles in the first quarter, but went on really strong. So you could really give it to either offensive tackle. But I'm going to say, just because of how complex the Saints defense was, and yet no Marcus Davenport, but how much dissecting Aaron Rodgers had to do, how much, you know, pre-snap changes, how much of a chess match that game really was, and quarterback duel between two future Hall of Famers, and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, and Rodgers comes out on top. And again, the Packers complete team victory. Again, 2 penalties, no turnovers. Unless you count turnover on down as a turnover, then they did have the 1 turnover. But this isn't the CFL. We don't count those as actual turnovers for some reason. But regardless, I think this is a game, you know, you could maybe give it to Lazard just because, okay, 146 yards, the numbers are strong, but really Rodgers, the throws he would made throughout this game, finding the open guy every single time, adjusting the plays, this was a game for Rodgers. This is one where it really, the credit goes to him. So player of the game this time had to be Aaron Rodgers. Part of it, me also I don't also want to repeat any of these either. I kind of like to keep it a different player every time. Part of it was I wanted to save Rodgers for the perfect game, but honestly, this might be the perfect game. So maybe that takes the pressure off there and can find some other players to talk about every week. But full credit to the Packers team in general. But of course, massive credit goes to Aaron Rodgers. So thank you all for listening to this episode of the Full Press Packers podcast. You can download the Full Press Coverage app for access to all of the great work at Full Press Coverage. You can also follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers, or myself, Kyle Senra, @SenraSays. So until next time, thank you for listening to the Full Press Packers Pod.